Now, It Sucks to Be Right presents a Tara Buster with comedian Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, recorded live at FYNation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Hello, everybody. This is Tara Devlin. Thanks for joining me and Tom Reynolds, who's my amazing executive producer. Thank you, Tom, for all the work you do. And he's the unsung hero.
Oh, stop. Don't stroke that ego too much. No. I've been
but
told.
Please keep going.
Yes. I've been told it's not good for anybody else's health.
No, it's okay. We all need a little bit of, we need a pat on our backs every now and then. And, you know, you do a lot of work, Tom. So what I wanted to talk about, actually, we're recording this live. Of course, this is my second show. We're supposed to be live. We're not really live, though. We're going to, because Tom.
Yes, it's my fault.
Yes, he is in love, unfortunately, for the show. He's distracted.
Yes, I'm very distracted.
Will be traveling to his girlfriend's birthday, right?
Is this what's happening? The girlfriend is having her birthday this weekend. I will be leaving, Thursday for the Saturday listeners and the Sunday listeners, but I will be in Detroit on Saturday and possibly Sunday and Monday, so there was no way we could do this live as much as I wanted to. I didn't want to screw it up and have any technical difficulties, so we're taping.
And that's okay, and I'm just saying it so people know there's not to, I mean, I guess you can call in and leave a comment or whatever, but right? So
yes,
down
yeah,
the road.
Definitely leave anytime, 810-479-4394. As long as we're not on the air with another show, you can always leave a voicemail and we will play it as long as you let us know which show you want it for and you say, hey, play it on air. And if it's hate mail, we might just play it anyway.
Right. Just because when we get hate mail, we know we're doing something right.
Amen.
That's how I look at it. Because when right wingers write me, and they you know, they always have the same scintillating retorts. They call me a commie. They'll call me a dyke. I'm like, I mean, I'm not really a commie, but I'm certainly a socialist. And yes, I am a dyke. So what are you gonna do?
Hey, because of my
guilty
voice.
Guilty is charged.
Hey, Tara, because of my voice, a Trump supporter once called me a drunk lesbian.
I took that as a very high compliment. It's true, because a drunk lesbian has a lot more power than those Trump supporters, and they're a lot more interesting.
Yes,
than a sober Trump supporter, I'll tell you that.
So. And I don't live in my mother's basement, so there's a plus in that.
Right, and you're not a Trump supporter, period.
Exactly. So. Amen.
Which is basically a deal breaker in any relationship, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yes, so, definitely.
What's that?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Exactly. Yes. But so what I was thinking about, because you're going away to see your girlfriend and... And I was pondering the state of the nation, right? And the state of our politics, and sometimes I get very depressed about it and I feel kind of alone and not, I mean, I know we're not alone, but I feel like hopeless about the, and especially now. I know that it's always darkest before the dawn, right? So
indeed,
when you
yes.
have something like Trump manifesting into this our world, it might just be the bottom that we need to hit to wake us out of this. What's really going on? Because we are living in. I mean, we could go either way. This is how I feel. I feel like because I know I'm a little bit of. I love history. The things that I do in my spare time, I listen to a lot of books on tape. I don't have a lot of time to read. I listen to great courses. I listen to all, you know, books on tape and whatnot. Because I feel like I don't want to waste any of my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so totally.
I'm riding my bike. I'm like listening to things. And I listen to a lot of history books. I love Roman history in particular. And I think about the Roman Republic, how it turned into an empire and into, you know, it was always an oligarchy. That's the one thing. They had a very, as we do now, in a way. Actually, our income disparity is worse than it was in ancient Rome. We have a wider income gap than the ancient Romans, which is a pretty startling statistic. But that this society that was so wedded to the idea of a republic, because they had such a they had a bad experience, let's put it that way, in the beginning of their history with the Etruscans, and they being ruling over them, and they would never have monarchy. Monarchy was a bad word. They did not want it was an insult. So to denigrate the senators, you would tell them, oh, they're trying to be a king, they're trying to be a monarch. That was the highest insult. Even Augustus, the first emperor, he wasn't called the emperor. He was called the first citizen. But it was a slow decline, really. And I feel like there is something in the human condition that we look for saviors. And that's what Trump is. And we look for somebody, and that's, I mean, basically, when you look at Trump, and so compare Trump to a Bernie Sanders the candidacy, let's say. Trump, he doesn't ask anything of his supporters. All he says is, don't worry about it, I got it, right? And I, you know, don't worry, it's going to be great. You're going to win, you're going to be sick of winning. Bernie, on the other hand, he said, I can't do this alone. This is about participation. And I think that it still is. And I'm not really sure what Hillary is saying. I think she's probably more along the Bernie Sanders line of, I need you. And I have to say that that speech that she gave when she accepted the nomination, that gave me a little bit of hope. Of course, having known the Clintons my entire life, I do have a little bit of trepidation. And that's why I think a lot of people are a little wary about Hillary and her, because she does say a lot of good things, but we'll see. And as far as holding somebody's feet to the fire, that's another story, right?
Amen.
But yeah, I mean, how do you hold somebody's feet to the fire? And that's the thing. How do you hold somebody's feet to the fire when they don't work for you, ultimately? So now they're vying for votes, but the fact is, this is an oligarchy. They don't care. The wants and needs of working people have a statistically insignificant effect on government policy. So how are we holding their feet to the fire? Do they care? There has to be some kind of tipping point with us. So in the Roman history, they had the first general strike in recorded history took place in ancient Rome, where the plebeians had enough of being abused by the upper class, and they left. They left Rome en masse, and they said, "Okay, fend for yourself." And it happened a few other times in history. So what they got out of that was they got some representation in the Roman Senate, and where they got a tribune of plebs that supposedly that had veto power and things like that. So they got a voice in the Senate. They got a vote, because it was all just about. It really was just another form of government that masqueraded as a republic, but it was serving the interests of the top, and that's what our government is doing. And so here we are living in this the aftermath of Reaganomics and Clintonomics, and it just concerns me when we, you know, when I think about a Trump, and I just think that it's possible that somebody like that could be, well, I mean, what, how, all right, what am I trying to say? Could it be that the people of the of America, that of the United States, could actually elect an oligarch, a dictator, that would just say, okay, forget it, you know, we'll go through the motions of democracy and just, you know, leave it up to him, and I do think that could happen.
I think you're right, Tara, and here's the reason I think you're right, because we've allowed government to get away with so much. This this isn't surprising, right? Like, exactly. To us, to you and me, it is, and people who are informed, who listen to Progressive Voices and listen to FYI Nation, this is frightening. But to the average person, this is just something that, it's one of those things that just kind of happened. And it's not surprising at all.
And they go through, so we go through the pantomime of democracy, and but it's not really a democracy. I mean, obviously we're not a democracy. We're a constitutionally limited democratic republic, right? We're not one person, one vote. But democracy takes, that takes an informed electorate. It takes action. It takes participation. It takes the being informed. The fact is, we don't have an informed electorate. We have camps, and that was created deliberately. So, you know, you don't have to be Miss Cleo to see the end of the story. That's what I always say, like, to people. You want to know what's going to happen in the future? Just look at the actions you're taking today. That's how you're a psychic. Everybody is a psychic. Everything is cause and effect. In the cause that you make, it inherently is the effect, whether it manifests today, tomorrow, next week, next year. So when here we are with these armed camps, well, not armed, well, some of them are armed, but these camps of people, we have the left and the right, not even the left, you know, the DLC. Somebody was posting online. They were like, said something about, I wish Bernie had blah, blah, blah. It was just some comment I saw. I wish Bernie was the nominee. And somebody else, well, if he got more votes. And I'm like, yeah, that might be true. But the entire system was rigged against this. This is what I think. Am I wrong here, Tom? I don't know. It feels like somebody like Bernie to get as far as he got in a system that without the establishment, without the money, without the mechanisms of power in his corner is pretty remarkable. So, I mean, that gives me hope, but fact
here's
is,
the thing though, you asked if you were wrong. You're not wrong, but you are wrong. Here's why. With Bernie, the whole campaign from the beginning, if you shook the magic eight ball, right, it would have said all signs point to no.
Right.
Every time you shake the magic eight ball. But there was a couple of times where there was a glimmer of, you know, you shake the magic eight ball, and then it came up to something closer to a yes. But the problem is, when you have, like you said, not necessarily vote rigging, but the media blackout, and when you have no issues wanting to be discussed, and when you had Trump TV all the time and still do, that creates what you're talking about. And that made it so Bernie could only go so far. And the fact that he went so far shouldn't be taken away from him by a Hillary supporter or a Bernie supporter. And that, I think, needs to be always remembered as a historical moment in this oligarchy that we have right now.
Yeah, and I just hope it's not the last gasp of the democracy, of the restoration of the middle class. Because we had that glimmer of hope there, that 40 years called the Great Prosperity. You know, FDR said, yes, we are on our way back, not by a chance or turn of the cycle, I'm paraphrasing, but because we planned it that way.
Yep.
And that says this is cause and effect. If you want a government, if you want an economically vibrant working class, that is created through government policy. So it's not, and that's what gets me insane about Republicans. And now we were talking about you going to see your girlfriend, and I was thinking about just that in general, human beings are wired to, we want to be connected. We want to be seen. We want to be with others. There is a loneliness is a real thing. People go insane when they are isolated from other human beings. That's the worst torture you can give to somebody, is you put them in isolation. You could drive them insane. Babies will die if they're not held. That means we were wired for cooperation and community. And they've done studies on babies and infants about fairness, just to see, are we wired for fairness? Yeah, because they say that infants, they're very selfish. Of course, they want their mommy. They want, you know, there's whatever. There's a whole lot of complex development going on. But one of the things that I was reading, they did a study where would babies help? Would they react to unfairness? Let's say, like, things being divvied up unfairly, like where they can't really verbalize what, but they just know instinctually that they don't like what's happening. They don't like being not getting their fair share. You know what I mean? And
sure, yeah.
So when you go back to even human evolution, you're talking about millions of years. They have evidence. Homo erectus, 2 million years ago, were the first humanoids to care for the sick. That's 2 million friggin' years ago. Who's not even a fully developed human. So to talk about a rugged individual, to say that, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I'm doing this myself. Nobody does it themselves. Nobody. And I really want to challenge anybody who disagrees with that to contact me and tell me, because maybe I'm not seeing it. But I think that we are all here and we all get by on each other. We need each other. And that's the way we were built. We were built for cooperation. So the thing that gets me with Trump and just with Republicans too, like one thing that I was thinking about Republicans, they love the military. They love all things military. But they give out medals. They, like when they, when a soldier, of course, they love when soldiers die because then they can go to their funerals and have a photo op like Pat Tillman. But when somebody gives their life in service of their country, that's the highest. That's the highest honor they give them. They are the heroes. They give them the highest medals. The soldiers who not give their lives or risk their lives for their fellows. That, I mean, don't you think, like, is there a rugged, if there's a rugged individual in the unit, then that's a coward. Wouldn't the rugged individual, like, just be, like, out for themselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's, I call it, no, you're absolutely right. On my show that we do here on FY Nation, Tara, you know that I call it Ayn Rand values, you
right.
know? Because you're being selfish. I mean, it's a snarky way to call somebody selfish.
Yeah, I mean, and that's selfishness is that's what one of our lowest values. We that's something, we don't honor that. Why would you honor a selfish bastard? So I just think that the entire Republican ideology is flawed at the core. And I mean, and I really think it's about dividing us. So you see what's going on with the Republicans. Like, they need us to be divided. So everything is real America. This is the real Americans. We are real America. Could you imagine? You will never hear a liberal politician or even a Democratic politician talking about, those Texas values, or
right.
As a pejorative. But that's what Republicans do. Oh, that Massachusetts liberal, or. Right? I mean, I find that offensive. So, thought we were all Americans.
Not to defend Trump, I mean, especially on this show, but I found it highly offensive when Ted Cruz insulted Trump with the New York values thing.
Oh, yeah. That's an old trick. They pull that card out. And it didn't work at the time because honestly, I was like, oh, what New York values? The New York values that running into burning buildings to save people, or those New York values, when on September 11th, they all like, oh, New York values, let's go attack a country that didn't attack us. So that's why they're so, the hypocrisy of Republicans is it's only equaled by their ignorance, frankly. So,
well, I would go someone, the hypocrisy is equal to their bravado. I mean,
true. They need help. I wish I was more evolved, because I don't have a lot of patience for them. Like, and I do have anger issues. So
really, I would have never guessed.
And there are other people that want to talk to them. And I just feel that sometimes you just have to evolve without them. They have, you got to drag them kicking and screaming to every innovation. If it was up to them, we would still be in caves, frankly,
I gotta disagree a little bit there, Tara. I'm gonna be your Robin to my Howard. I think, as someone who was a former conservative, with me, my awakening started with one conversation.
What happened?
Basically, it was a conversation with a friend of a friend, and they were like, well, what are your values? What do you believe in? And she listed off all the things that I believed in, and I was like, well, this, and this, and I'd like to see this, and this. And she was like, those are Democratic values.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I can't be a Democrat, you know, using that language at the time. And it took me a while. I went to the Libertarian Party, where, you know, you just want to smoke pot and get laid. Mm-hmm. And then I went to being a Democrat, where I worked to try to get Al Gore elected, where W stole that election. And then I finally became a Democratic socialist and a full-on socialist. So, I mean, you can have a conversation, but you have to hit somebody with what's recognizable to them. And not come from an argumentative way. You have to do it questioning and make sure that you, because she was really, really smart about it. She didn't hit me over the head. And I think that's where we get in trouble as liberals and progressives. We like to hit conservatives over the head a lot, and they're gonna automatically put their shields up. You know, like, right. In Star Trek, obligatory Star Trek reference. And I think we can do better, but clearly it's not going to be everybody.
Right. Well, because I think that we have been so polarized, I think in the past we used to agree on certain things. Like, there was an agreement among the politicians in this country that the American dream was that every working person could have a decent middle class life. That every American had the right to have a decent middle class life, right? That was the that was the American dream. That's what brought people here. But now they have actively changed the definition. And that's why I think about what happened to the Roman Republic, let's say, a republic that went on for hundreds of years before that had a visceral reaction to oligarchs, not oligarchs, to single rule, to autocracy, let's say, that was so wired against it. Like we are wired in this country. That's why sometimes I think, well, in our national DNA, even though we're so young, we are so young in comparison to every other country, but in our national DNA is that we were created as an answer to oligarchy. But the fact is, they have been redefining that history for us. Now, we're a Christian nation. We are, the founding fathers were Christians, and that's really not, we're Judeo-Christian. That's not what this country was founded on. This country was founded on the liberal age of enlightenment, on that thought. On, it would never have come out of the Christian. It was the thinkers and the philosophers of the Enlightenment. They went to jail for standing up against the church and that kind of the church-state intertwined rule. And so, if anything, the founders, this country was founded not on Christian, and to also say that it's just Christian value. What is Christian values? You don't need to have a religion to have a morality. People in your DNA know right from wrong. You know, the Homo erectus that were taking care of the old and the infirm members of their community, I'm sure they weren't believing in Judeo-Christian values. They were doing what they had empathy. We were wired with empathy for a reason. Yep. So there are other forms of life that don't have empathy, that just, they're all out for themselves. I mean, but for we weren't created that way.
But we were created to take a break, and we got to take one.
How dare you?
I know, I got to play executive producer. I'm sorry. Don't hit me. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation on the other side, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I know I gotta play boss man here.
You're listening to FYI Nation. Original presentation content is for mature audiences. Feel free to tweet us at hashtag FYI Live or visit our chat at FYINation.com.
Dr. Johnny Fever, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Brown.
Hey, if you're tired of the same old grind working in a dead-end job, then click our pop-up ad to the online Diploma Mill University. In 3 short hours and $7,000 later, you will be awarded with a doctorate of your choice. Here's the dean of our university, the sanctimonious Professor Irwin Corey.
Yes! With the online Diploma Mill University, you can learn anything you want, like the difference between a preposition and the preparation H, or the art of bitterness and hatred, while administering anesthesia in the nude, like Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Dr. Marcus Welby. Dr. Doolittle.
The Online Diploma Mill University is brought to you in conjunction with the Willie Chichi Online Casino. We promise not to steal your credit card number. We'll give it right back.
Hello? What? Oh, that's Return of the Jedi. I'm watching it in my car. It's deep-fried turkey. I just cooked it right here. What? I'm grooming my dog and playing the banjo. Ow! Ow! My duck just flew in my face. My duck! What? That was a dolphin. What? Ow! I'm making a dining room table out of solid oak. Honey, would you fill this jar up with varnish and hand me the lighter and the firecrackers? Yeah, hang on a second. Hey, hang on, the duck's on fire! Hey, learn how to drive, pal!
Remember, watching movies, deep frying, pet grooming, banjo playing, loose ducks, aquatic mammals, woodworking, using fireworks, and cell phone use are dangerous distractions. Please, when you're driving, just drive.
You're listening to FYI Nation. Original presentation content is for mature audiences. Feel free to tweet us at hashtag FYI Live or visit our chat at FYINation.com.
Well, we're back.
Yes, we
are.
We're
on the air.
Oh, yes, we're on the air. We're back.
So, as we were saying, before I was rudely interrupted.
I know, kidding. Right? I had to be executive producing and give you a little time out.
So, yeah, you know, I was thinking of just about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these Republicans? But it's not just their fault. We're all to blame. We get the government that we deserve. And I saw that Debbie Wasserman Schultz won her primary or whatever.
Yes, sadly.
And that's all I thought was, well, we get the government that we deserve. And if that's what the people in Florida think they deserve, that somebody who, you know, puts her thumb on the scale, that is in bed with corporate interests, that pushes the payday loan protections. Come on, the worst of all the banksters, the most vile, hated of all the banksters are the payday lenders, and she, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that's her constituency. So if that's what we deserve, I guess that's what we got. And so it gets me a little despondent. But I think that the entire system, this is why I fear for where we're going, because we're already an oligarchy, and we are already I don't know what the word is. What is the word where you are a false democracy? That's what I feel. We go through the motions of democracy, but we're not really a democracy, because when we have representatives that don't even, that do not consider the wants and needs of the people they pretend to represent in government policy, when it doesn't even measure on the scale, what the wants and the needs of the working class doesn't even make it through the gate, then what is that called? But whereas the wants and needs of the 1% of the rich, then that is what is passed. So what do you call that? But we have to go out there and we go through the motions. But I think it's almost like we are conditioned. It's like a learned helplessness. Okay, now we're going to vote. Oh, well, we didn't win. Oh, well, guess not this time. But it's almost, we can't really fully blame ourselves in a way, but I guess we can, because the fact is, unlike the plebs of Rome, we're not leaving, we're not picking up. There is no general strike going on, where I think I really wish we would have a general strike. You know, I have to tell you, I worked at this place as a freelancer, and they, a big company, a big media company, one of the top 10, they I was a freelancer or whatever, because I wasn't staff, but they had a staff there too, and they fired the entire staff one day. These are people that had 401k benefits, the whole nine. They came in, the company told them, they brought them into a room, they said, okay, everybody's, you know, they didn't say fired, you're all transitioning to freelancer. So they basically fired everybody and hired them immediately as freelancers. And they were like, take it or leave it. So they didn't have to, now they don't have to pay them benefits. Now they don't have to give them days off or pay for their sick days or anything like that. And what happens there? You know, there's no protection if they could just end their so-called contracts at any time. And that's it. Take it or leave it. What happened? The next day, everybody went to work. And I was really upset, to tell you the truth. And I, even though I was a freelancer myself, I was like, what the hell? Everybody should have walked out.
Oh,
the whole company. And my friend who is from France, I was telling him about it, and he said, if that was France, the whole thing would have shut down right there. Because they know.
That's because we're living in what you're talking about, a false democracy. And the anonym for that and related word would be probably the best word would be nepotism. That's the best word that you're looking for. Or
because it's like
tyranny.
It almost reminds me of what we make fun of the people in Iraq in the past that would go out and they 99% vote for Saddam Hussein. You know, we make fun of them, but it's like, what's the difference in a way? Because we're not really getting represented, and we have this Democratic president, so our Barack Obama, who is supposedly the most liberal, everybody's the most liberal. Everybody who, of course, that's just Republicans, you know, saying that, but they're the most liberal we've ever seen. But since Barack Obama took office, it's worse. The labor share of the market is worse than it's ever been, and the income disparity is worse, is wider. And so that's not. And that, yes, you can blame it on Republicans too, because they are obstructionists. That's part of their agenda. But the president has a part to play, and so does DLC, DNC, and they're in the pockets of the same big moneyed interests. This is who they serve. They serve the elite. I mean, just look what happened with Apple in Ireland, that not paying taxes and the EU coming down on them. And Ireland's like, oh, we don't want the taxes. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
these companies, the fact is, we used to understand, and we used to have presidents like Teddy Roosevelt that would use his bully pulpit to explain to the people that this is why you have things like an estate tax. An estate tax exists, so we don't have an intergenerational aristocracy. And of course, the Republicans call it a death tax. They're so good at branding because they don't got anything else. But so the power of the elite to corrupt government, that used to be a widely known thing, that at least in the Depression, when people came out of the Depression, they knew who they were fighting against. And to what my friend told me, my friend who is from France, say that at least the people in France understand that the working class are in it together. They understand that the whole thing will shut down in France. They'll just the trucks will stop on the highway. That'll be it. All the gates go down. Boom. That's it. No, we're not playing anymore. This is why they are afraid to do things like that. They would never get away with it in France. So to fire your entire staff and then rehire them. And this is a rich company. So that's the other thing that gets me. It's because what is it about? So part of what we are as human beings, you know, we evolved as cooperating beings. You know, there's theories how we diverged from the apes. One is we started eating meat, and we, even though I'm a vegetarian, I do not eat meat. So, but that's, you know, millions of years ago, we started eating meat, and we also cooperated we with each other in the hunts and whatnot. And so that we developed in that as cooperating beings. And, you know, like, so we're one of the only species that will, like they describe, pull down the branch and the other one will grab the apple, but we'll both share in the meal, right? But it seems like now we're pulling down the branch, they're grabbing the apple, and it's all going to them. Nobody's sharing. How much do you want at the top? How much money can you take with you? This is what I want to know. So there is really no purpose to having millions and millions of dollars. So the CEO of the company that fired all those people makes millions and millions. I don't know exactly, but I think it's around $25 million. That's even lowball, right?
Yeah.
It's probably low. And so take a couple of million off the top. I think you'd still be rich. You could still have employees. Because what is it? What do they want? And the other thing that concerns me is that you know, when you talk about, well, Mad Men, watching Mad Men or whatever, and they used to, Madison Avenue, let's put it that way, they don't even, what I was reading not too long ago is that they don't even appeal. They're not trying to appeal to the middle class anymore because there is no middle class. So so think about that. So back in the day, you had a whole industry that was created, these ads, they created ads to tell people, okay, buy this, buy your piece of the American dream, right? A car, dishwashers, whatever the hell they were selling. And now today, at Madison Avenue, they're not even concerned. They're not concerned with that because there is such a wide disparity between the rich and the poor. And I don't care, you know, Republicans always talk about how much, you just got to work. I don't care how much you work. There's not enough hours in the day to make it in this society on minimum wage and keep your head above water and have a life. I mean, this is why Republicans want us to, they want to whittle away the wall between church and state because they want you to know your reward will come in heaven. And if better luck next life, you know, in heaven, everything will be okay, but you'll be dead. But, you know, that's beside the point. So just don't, just play nice now. Don't disrupt your betters because just work hard. It's not about work. It's really about the system. And this is why they have this whole thing, Real America, and how their answer to Black Lives Matter is All Lives Matter. Oh, but you know what? If all lives matter, we wouldn't have the Black Lives Matter movement, okay? So they don't, it's really about tribe, right? So and bringing people, this is what I think, we need to, as liberals, as Americans in general, we have to embrace the entire American community. They don't, but Republicans are reluctant to do that. This is what I see. But maybe you, Tom, as a former Republican, can enlighten me. Because what I see is them not, they don't want to play with other people, let's say, that are different than them. They don't want to consider. And that's actually one of the founders of the Right to Work movement back in the day when they were trying to unionize. One of the criticisms against the labor movement was that, you don't want to call some N-word your brother. And it, this is how they divide us. But
well, I think, as some, at least in my case, I'd never had a problem with being around anyone, you know, from anything. And I think what they like to think of themselves as willing to be inclusive, but their dogma and their exclusivity as a party, they get okay with the fact that they're not. So they look like their argumentativeness and their so-called struggle as a badge of honor, because they feel that they're doing better than everybody else. And if you just accepted their way or the highway, you would come along anyway. So why do I have to bring you along? Again, it goes back to Ayn Rand values, which we talked about in the first part of the show. It's selfishness. It's not that they don't want exclusivity. It's just pure selfishness. They don't have a thought about including anyone because they're in it to get the rugged individual that you talked about earlier.
Right. But, okay.
Does that make sense?
I have known some Republicans in my time, and I mean, I'm just thinking of a few of them.
Because that's why, Tara, just think about it. This is why they get defensive and argumentative about, right. Well, I'm not a racist. Well, they don't see what they're doing as racist. They don't see because they're tone deaf to it. Because they feel that if you just came along, and because they feel that everybody on the Monopoly board gets the same, and everybody can start from the same lane, right? That there's no problem. Why are you bugging me about this? And this goes down to the flag issue. This goes down with Colin Kirkpatrick this week. This goes down to every little issue that you can point to. And there's your answer. They feel as if I am going on this on my own. If you just come with me, you'll be able to do this too. You shouldn't have any problems. And why should I help? It almost reminds me of the Tony Soprano character. Like, his whole thing was, why can't anybody just have a stiff upper lip and get on with it, right? And that's a Republican. That's a conservative. Just have a stiff upper lip and get on with it. But the real world doesn't work that way. In the real world, there's pain, there's suffering, there's inequality, but they don't see it. So that's why they get so defensive, and that's why you can't necessarily have a conversation sometimes with them.
Right. I mean, and I think that's why when Bernie talked about, one of the things that really touched me when Bernie talked about his religious beliefs, they kept pressing him, and he said what he feels deeply is that when somebody is hurting, he is hurting. That he, if there's a veteran sleeping on the street, if there's anybody sleeping on the street, that he is hurting. And that we all suffer from that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. We are in this together. And regardless of whether you know that person, whether you will ever meet them, but there is this collective unconsciousness that's going on. And I really think that this country is in some kind of national nervous breakdown, frankly, right now. And I mean, and it's really, when I think about the deregulated media, part of it is that, because we don't have these communications, because nobody, what are the chances right now that there's a conservative listening to this show? I mean, maybe there are. I doubt it, though. The people who, we're all kind of compartmentalized. I mean, I'm certainly not going to listen to Fox News. I can't stand it. I just can't, because I mean, I guess they think we're lying. I don't know. Why? That's the other thing. I actually went to my shrink today, and I was telling, because I get some emails from lately from conservatives. I think that they're trying, you know, it's like the old thing, they used to send you junk mail and things like that. I get people, they sign me up for things. You know what I mean? I guess I got my email address, and they'll, yep. I'll get a call, and it'll be, oh, you ordered this something from Land of Nod, and you know, we need your money. And I'm like, I didn't order this. You know what I mean? So I think that there, it has to be some right winger that's just being, a, you know, being himself, right? But I think, and I was thinking, like, why? Like, what the hell? You know, I get it. They don't like me. I don't care. Whatever. It's, like I said, it's a badge of honor. I think I consider it, if a right winger is annoyed, then I'm doing it right. But the fact is, it's like, really, what are we fighting about? The fact that I really would love to see this country, the people, the working class, earn a living wage, have a decent middle class life, that people have health care, have access to education and opportunity. I mean, what the hell? I thought that they wanted that too. And that's what's so scary about Trump, because I think ultimately everybody does want that. They want that community. They want the security. They want whatever whatever it means to be the American dream, whatever that is left. But they've been told that it's because of those other people that they're blocking it. This whole building a wall, and it's the it's those black people, it's the, you know, those gay people, it's everybody else. If everybody would just get in their place, then, you know, America will be great again. And that's what he means about make America great. It's making America this image that only existed on the Leave It to Beaver show, which means it never existed. Even the Leave It to Beaver show was a construction of somebody's reality that they created.
Yep. So yep.
It's not real. And that's why I always say the motto of conservatism really should be the beatings will continue until morale improves. Because what they're doing.
No, so, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, and I love that.
It's the truth. They think that it's because it does take a level of maturity and a level of this just being able to live in community with people who aren't like you it takes that kind of emotional maturity to function in the type of free democratic society that they pretend to love, right? You know, I guess they don't consider themselves racist. I don't know. But I know people myself that I think are nice people. I mean, I've had some arguments, like a friend of mine I'm thinking about right now, who was talking about, he's basically said some racist things about, they should just stop having babies or whatever. You know what I mean? This is the meme that... stop getting arrested, stop going to jail. And the thing is, that is blaming the victim rather than the society. It's like saying it's not the institutions that are at fault. It's not the system that is to blame. So don't look over here at the system and fix the system, but blame the people caught in the system. That's just not reality. I mean, there's a lot of ignorance in a statement like that, because, you know, you could, but people don't want to know it. Oh, well, they'll just be like, well, I did it myself. I pulled myself up. No, I mean, and I really like to know when you scratch the surface, it's the other side of the story, you know, because the fact is people start out with a lot of different advantages and disadvantages in this society. And so what I think really ultimately is, this is another thing, that's why the whole thing with Hillary and her, which I think it's great, whatever. It's a step forward. Her education plan is will affect people under $125,000 a year or whatever. That's wonderful, but that's just another means test, frankly. So, wait, did you send me a message?
Yes,
just now?
We only have 5 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Why don't you could just say it? Oh,
well,
I guess you don't want to interrupt.
I didn't want to interrupt. Exactly. I was trying not to be rude and you know, trying to be the professional executive producer here that you expect of me, but it's okay.
You're right. I just wrecked it. See what
there
happens?
You go. It's okay. It's all right. That's what, it's your second show, Tara. We will perfect this.
It's fine. All good. Everybody, they understand. This isn't... I don't have Fox News money here. You know what I mean? I'm sitting in my house. My two cats are sitting here. I got Tom on Skype. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yes.
This is not the million-dollar operation. So.
Well, that we need donations for, and I'm sure at some point we'll be able to get those. But
I hope so. That'd be nice.
Maybe George Soros will write us a check someday. You know?
I know, right? Nice. I wish. I'll take it.
Right?
But I don't know. I mean, there's so many more things. We're running out of time. But we were talking about Hillary. It takes a village, and I do. It does take a village. It does take a village. And I think that we have responsibility. We should be ashamed of ourselves that we allow people to not have a job in this country. Well, I mean, there is no reason that people should be struggling, that people should be living on the street, that there should be anybody who is worried about going to a doctor because they can't afford a copay or an EpiPen. That's a national disgrace, and
it's an international disgrace because we look pathetic.
Yeah, we do.
Really do.
We do, and it really is about who is in this tribe. Are we Americans? I thought we left nobody behind. So this is what always gets me, because I'm like, okay, so we go attack the wrong country on purpose, obviously, because we were attacked. Supposedly, that's why we go, but. And we torture people because it supposedly saves American lives, but then we don't. We'll just let people die in the street without health care or any other thing.
On.
Like pick an offense.
We can't do both. Come on. God forbid we actually saw patriotism as paying your taxes.
Patriotism, this is another tirade I did, is the root of the word patriotism, or is patriota, whatever. I can't speak, as you know.
It's Latin.
It means fellow countrymen. It's and Latin or Greek. I can't remember. But it could be both. And that is what patriotic means, fellow countrymen. That means, so you cannot say that you love your country and turn your back on the people in it and call yourself patriotic. So you can wave your flag all day, but if you think that people should just SOL in this country, if they're woke up on the wrong side of Reaganomics, then you're the problem, buddy. You're the problem. All right, I see we're wrapping it up. But so it does take a village to make a nation. We as a community, we did some great things in this country, and we could do it again. But we really got to get our priorities straight. We even went to the moon once. I mean, remember how?
No, we didn't. That was faked.
Right. Oh, that's true. But, I mean, we all pay the consequences. So it's like it takes a village to raise a child the same way it takes a community, you know, to live with the consequences of that child growing up without, pick anything, growing up drinking lead-laced water, growing up without opportunity, growing up hungry.
That's, you gotta go.
Pay that consequence. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. This is Tara Devlin.